In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm really excited about tonight's sharing as well, and it's about power in the name of Jesus Christ, but his name as the shepherd. And of course, that song was a beautiful rendition of Psalm 23, and we're not going to read the whole of Psalm 23, but I do want to read the very first verse of it, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I was reading an article by Kenneth Hagin recently, and he said he likes to say this as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want." And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. I do not want for healing. I do not want for health. I do not want for strength. I do not want for power. I do not want for ability. I do not want for money. I do not want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want." And that's talking about God being the shepherd. Yahweh or Jehovah is my shepherd. But then in John 10, Jesus said in verse 11, that "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of his flock." There's other things that the shepherd, you could call him. He's our keeper. He's a supplier of our needs. He's our leader. So we're going to look at a little bit of the qualities of what a shepherd does. And the word shepherd combines the idea of feeding, tending, and watching. In fact, the word picture for shepherd is what comes from the man watching. So a shepherd, one of his main jobs that he does is watch over the flock. He tends them first by leading them to a place of pasture and quiet waters, like it talks about in Psalm 23. And then he takes care of and protects and heals them if necessary. But I want to look at the qualities of a shepherd sort of in the idea of what it is not. And this is from two passages in the Old Testament where it's talking about shepherds and what they were doing wrong. But you can turn the phrases around and see what a good shepherd would be. So Zechariah 11. And verse 16, and I'm going to read from the ESV. "For behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs." Oh dear, this is really awful picture of a really bad shepherd. But let's turn around the phrases first. The first one is, the shepherd cares for those being destroyed. The King James says he visits those that be cut off or they're perishing. So it means to take care of someone, such as when you visit someone in the hospital. You're just not sitting there. You're actually caring for them. Or someone needs help in their home, you go and actually do something for them. So there's caring for those being destroyed. The second phrase is to seek the young. The young means the scattered ones. So the shepherd goes and seeks the scattered ones. Now think about that in terms of reconciliation, because this is going to come up a little bit here. God is the shepherd and Jesus is the good shepherd. He literally goes to seek those who are lost and have been scattered in order to bring them to a new pasture. The third phrase is to heal the maimed or those who are broken or hurt. So part of the job of the shepherd is to heal those who are sick, such as to bind up broken bones or like Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oil. Oil was used for healing in many cases. The last phrase in that verse is to nourish the healthy. And I think this one is really wonderful too, because it shows that the shepherd not only takes care of the scattered ones, the sick ones, or the dying ones, his job is also to nurture the healthy ones. King James states it as to feed the standing still, or sustain the standing. So even the ones who are standing, who appear not to need anything, they need things. So it's the shepherd's job to figure out what they need and to supply it. So you have a summary of these four aspects of the shepherd's job. Care for the perishing, seek the scattered, heal the broken, and nourish the healthy. Isn't that a beautiful way to describe it, the job of a shepherd? Ezekiel 34 also has a very interesting record about the really bad shepherds and what they were doing and what God was going to do instead. So in verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Oh, no, not feeding the sheep. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. And that word feed there is the rea, tend, or watch. And here's the verse where you can turn it around. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So turn it around. It says, you strengthen, the shepherd strengthens the weak, heals the sick, binds up the injured, brings back the strayed, seeks out the lost, and rules them with gentleness and restfulness. Verse 14, jumping down there, it says the opposite and of what God was going to do. He says, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. You get that picture of just this beautiful meadow with rich, rich, rich green grass. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. And then there's this interesting phrase here at the end of verse 16. I will feed them in justice, or with justice. I will tend them with justice. God is a just God. He's a faithful God. There are so many aspects of being a shepherd that are bound up in God's character and also Jesus Christ's character. Now let's just talk a little bit more about reconciliation, because you get the word reconciliation from this verb, rea, and it's used in the New Testament in Romans 5 and verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, God was reconciled with us by the death of his son, then how much more will we by his reconciliation live by his life? And not only so, verse 11, but also we boast in God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received reconciliation. There's this awesome idea that at one point we were actually enemies of God, and there was a hostility between us and God that needed to get altered. And God was reconciled to us by the death of his Son, and by that reconciliation we live. So now you have to put together this idea of reconciliation being shepherding. So there's two aspects to reconciliation. The first one is you had to get altered, like the wheels had to get in alignment in the car, and we had to get put back right with God. But that's not the end of it. The putting back right with God is now causing us to be able to live, like to be shepherded by him and by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, be satisfied with the pasture, have food, have protection, have care, to be completely cared for and watched out for by the shepherd. So the word shepherding, if you substitute that for reconciliation, these verses come alive. So you can say about verse 11, say, we boast by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received shepherding. We received shepherding because the shepherd took us out from where we were, which was completely enemy territory and was totally hostile to God. And he brought us into this, like a new flock, and he gave us new pasture and now completely cares for us. So if you apply what we were talking about yesterday with how there's power in the name of Jesus Christ, there's power in the name of the shepherd, that we can call upon him to do healing when someone needs healing, to lead us into those green pastures. Like Psalm 23 says, even if I walk in shadowed valleys, I will not fear death from evil or from the evil one, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff encourage me. So we can pray in the name of the shepherd for reconciliation, for people, for new pastures, for protection, and especially also for healing. But remember when I was talking about those who are standing need things too? So the nourishing the healthy is also part of the shepherd's job that we can pray for each other and for our loved ones. There's several other keys that are in 2 Corinthians 5, but especially the part about how we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of shepherding. So I want to read verse 20. You can go ahead and read the whole section there. And every time you see the word either reconcile or reconciliation, put in the word shepherding. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ, and it is as if God were begging you by way of us on behalf of Christ. Therefore, we beg you, be reconciled to God. So our message and our prayers are to other people, come, be shepherded by God. Our job is to lead people to the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep and provides for them and cares for them. So remember, the Lord is my shepherd. You say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for anything. That's what I wanted to share. And I really want to encourage everyone to put this into practice. And in your quiet prayer time, just really meditate on what the shepherd does, not only for you personally, but for others that we love, and to beseech him in the name of the shepherd that he would seek out the lost and heal the brokenhearted, as well as what we talked about yesterday by setting the captives free and being our rest maker. So God bless you.
Do you want to close with prayer, Jen?
Sure. Father, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for your tremendous love and mercy and how you did reconcile us back to you when we were enemies and have brought us into this wonderful, beautiful family where this great pastor is, where we can be quiet, we can rest, we can have the things that we need and to be completely at peace, knowing that your rod and your staff protect us all the time. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, for how much he continues to carry out this work as a shepherd in our lives and on a day-by-day basis. And thank you also, Father, for just opening the eyes of our understanding even greater so we can just catch a glimpse even more about how wonderful you are and how, just like Psalm 23 says, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We're just extremely grateful for that. So I pray that in the name of the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, amen.